This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruins sports. I am your freaking host, Bill Shirley.
Oh no, Lincoln Riley is 17-5 in his first 22 games. The sky is falling. How can this be happening? Oh my gosh, USC is in such a terrible state. The team is so bad. It's all going wrong, guys. Everything is terrible and it's never going to be well again.
That's a little Sean Ford start up the day.
She's right, you know.
That's our friends over there at Rain of Troy. Had dinner with them last week. They're doing well. But that is Alicia, the Penguin of Troy, kind of mocking the animosity for Lincoln Riley at this moment in time.
Who is right? 17 and what?
17-5, I want to say.
That's insane.
But, I mean, you know, their season's certainly not going the way they want it to go. But also, there's probably a little bit of unreasonableness going over in that fan base at this current moment in time.
Curse.
But it's very fun to watch and listen to.
So that is crazy. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's
USC,
always
do not no. No, no. Bad USC.
Yeah, you're right. Like last week when I said you know, I just wasn't paying attention to Trojan Twitter. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, meltdown
it's,
city.
It's they're turning into the Bruin fan base.
You should have heard the rant line. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, one of the great sports, I mean, after USC loss is just listening to all the pods and stuff. And with any fan base that you know, any team that you don't like. It's always good to listen to the other side of that, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Anyways.
Welcome to the What's Brewing Show. One show on an amazing network. One of, I guess, how many shows now, Jake? Three?
At this point, probably one. I don't know.
One of one.
We'll see.
We'll see how this network.
We'll see how it's going.
We're on a flex schedule.
We're on a flex schedule. And I'll put
the
network
bare minimum, actually.
The bare minimum.
We'll probably come back in the next week or two.
Okay. So I'm going to put network in air quotes.
But it's almost quarterly at this point.
Okay. No worries.
Everything else, I don't know. Like Jamal's out there in Arizona.
Yeah.
Wandering the desert. Finding places for me, him, and Mike to eat in a couple weeks.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good luck.
Taking
good luck,
his kids.
7:30 kickoff. I knew it. I knew it, too.
Dropping his kids off the community pool and not in the way that Bill does.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, listen. Welcome to the show. You can reach these guys on Twitter, at What's Brewing. You can reach them on Insta. I think it's Insta, right? Isn't it at What's Brewing Show? The same thing.
Yeah,
I think it's all of them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And of course, you
thanks,
can email.
Bill.
You, I don't know, Jake. I don't have.
Why don't? Why don't? Why can't we reach you on Insta, Bill?
You can reach me on Slack.
Or on Twitter.
Oh, psych!
Oh yeah, you can. Bill's a dick.
So here it is. What's Brewing Show at gmail.com for some emails to Jake. Jake, have you gotten any good emails lately? I know you gotten some voicemails, but not emails.
I got a few of each.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And you can also, and most importantly. Subscribe to us on whatsbrewing.substack.com.
Thank you.
How much, Mike, for Substack?
$2.
It's more than that.
Inflation.
Oh, $5.
Yes.
Something like that.
It should be more than that.
Dez just subscribed on Substack.
Did he really?
Yeah. We love you, Dez.
That is awesome. I am gonna get on Substack.
Are you, Bill?
No. All right. So
you should. You're more alt-right than me, as we like to say.
Woof.
That's awesome. Jake put these... put these episodes on YouTube, so check us out there. When I say check us out, it's not going to be us. It's just
subscribe
the audio.
And like.
It's just the audio.
Subscribe and like.
Subscribe and like. Smash.
Please. We're getting a lot of comments on the YouTube page.
Smash that like button.
Smash
that's
it.
What the kids say. Smash
yeah,
that
right.
Like
yeah, right.
All right. So check us out there. Get your merch. It's always going to be at the bottom of the show. I'm not going to give you this damn.
Show
Jake,
notes.
There has to be something. There has to
nothing
be an easier
do.
Way.
There's nothing I can do.
There
I
has to be an
honestly,
easier way.
Honestly, I know
way.
People have made purchases on that website. But I've not got any notification of it.
Yeah.
I really need to follow up and see if there's actually
no. But there has
some
to be a way to simplify the link so that we can advertise it easier than backslash.
Oh, just put it on Twitter.
Semicolon percentage.
It's in it's in the show notes. Whatever. Really, the worst thing about that is that hyphen in the middle of What's and Bruin. If I can just get them to take the hyphen out, it's fine, right? Then it's mylocker.net/shops/ What's Bruin.
Yeah, no,
that's not hard at
that's
all.
That's a negative.
That's
ghost,
not
right?
bad. Do you think that's bad, Mike?
No.
Mike,
it's not horrible. It's,
Mike, the problem
no
is
remember that.
You're going mylocker.net/shops/what's-brewing. I mean, that's tough.
Three. You don't want to go more than three slashes.
I'm just saying. Well, that would be three.
Mike's being generous.
Proper website nomenclature.
All I'm saying is it's in the show notes. Bill, can we move on?
No, I understand.
Proper
Jake.
Website philosophy dictates.
Jake, thank you for doing this. No, I'm not dogging you. Yeah. I'm just saying there has to be a way to make it easier.
Have you made your order yet? You said you're gonna. You said you're gonna buy some stuff.
I'm thinking about doing it for Christmas. No, I'm gonna do it.
You still have time.
I do. Hopefully, it's here by Christmas.
You're not the only one that's gonna get that drop tonight. We're gonna send one for. We're gonna have one for another Bruin Luminary soon.
Oh, very good. Speaking of all these connections, whether through social media or email, you can also call us. Our hotline's been blowing up lately. Maybe not.
Not
past,
after Stanford. I don't know why, but we got calls after. There's like four or five calls.
It's been blowing
it
up.
It was late. It was tired. People were like, hey, we won.
Oh, definitely.
I'm just going to say it right now. I fell asleep during that game. I'm just going to say it right now. Call us at 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, random to Roy.
Suck it.
There it is. So let's go ahead and get started with the bro-affiliated headlines with M-I-K-E. Psh.
Mike, no headlines? My goodness.
No, I mean, there's basketball stuff coming up.
Oh, no,
negative.
Let's avoid that as long as possible.
We talked about a lot of the preseason stuff last week. So.
Okay, so can we get on with it and get to the chopper?
Get to the chopper!
It's coming up quicker than you expect, but yeah, let's get to the chopper.
All right. No bro-affiliated headlines then.
Oh, football.
Huh? Yeah.
Get to the prime. Section of this podcast.
We have a whole game to talk about first.
Yeah, I know. California, hey.
Football.
The game that was.
So UCLA went up to the farm, beat Stanford 42-7. I went up for the game, had a blast. It was a little bit further of a drive from Berkeley than I thought, considering I'd never gone to the game from Berkeley. But if you want to hear my thoughts on it, I did a post game live.
You did?
From the five. Guest starring Malcolm.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. I listened to it. Jake, it was good.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. And it was a little more like off the top than I normally do, but I did get 50 minutes of post game on there, and I think...
40 minutes.
Was it 40?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks, Bill. 40 minutes of post game. Thanks for the correction. Meaningless. Really didn't mean that much.
You're welcome.
All you're going to do is sit there and correct me when I say something that really didn't need correcting. But thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your support.
He doesn't always stop you and correct you.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Anywho, there's a post game up there.
We'll just start correcting Jake.
Following UCLA versus Stanford.
Following
Stanford.
Or trailing? Sorry. Okay. Shut up.
Thanks, guys.
okay. We're
but done. That's the previous show on this feed. Also, I think we also had the nice conversation with Wayne Cook the time before that, and that kind of led right into the Stanford game. So go back and listen to that if you didn't listen to it yet. But UCLA beat Stanford 42-7. UCLA was up 21-0. Carson Steele, the freaking man of steel, my guy, had 3 touchdowns on his birthday and got to pretty much sit down at, after like a quarter and a half had elapsed, really. Ethan Garbers is apparently the starting quarterback for the Bruins. Or is he? He was on that night. So there's a lot going on. You heard my thoughts. Bill, Mike, I don't care who starts, but just number one, give us your thought on the game and then we'll come around to the quarterback situation. But just your thought on the game. Bill already confessed to falling asleep during it. But I imagine you saw the part that was meaningful.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of snoozing of this game, and it went on until like 1 a.m. So nobody blames you, Bill.
Yeah,
that was a late fucking game.
It was.
Yeah.
It
so, anyways, what'd you think of the game?
Mike,
what'd you think of
it? It was a it was a
ass kicking on the farm.
Not an. I mean, yes, it was an ass kicking, but it was weird because it wasn't like explosive plays and like, oh wow, awesome. It was just
that's a very good point.
It was like a consistent,
methodical.
There you go. That I've heard that term thrown around after this game. A consistent and methodical game where there's no real flash, but it was still good to see. It was good to see UCLA.
It was lacking sizzle. Is that what you're trying to say,
Bill? Lacking sizzle, but it was still.
It also helped that Stanford sucked.
Nutritious. Yes. It also helped
Yeah.
It also helped that, I don't know how you feel about gun rights, that Stanford had a gun and it kept on shooting their foot every other play. It was I don't even know how they can walk. They could just shoot. I don't know. It was a horrible analogy.
That was amazing analogy.
You guys ever,
that was amazing.
Did you guys ever meet anybody that literally shot their own foot?
No, I have not.
I have.
Oh, yes, you have. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But it kept on shooting themselves. throughout the whole game. It was just so that was my thought. I have a lot of other thoughts about it, but just in terms the overall theme of it, Jake, was methodical and just, you know.
Mike, four sentences on the game itself.
I know we're going to get into the quarterback situation, but that really stood out. And that's what I think UCLA needed in those in that game against Oregon State. And that's what I said, I believe, in my post game or sometime during that Oregon State game, that there needs to be some leadership, you know, amongst the quarterbacks, which and Dante Moore will get that. But you can just see how much more poised and relaxed and how Garbers was able to just, you know, go through his progressions. Like, there was one, I think it was in the second quarter, where he kind of looked at his wide receiver and it almost looked like he said, God, I should have thrown that. But instead just made the smart, you know, a veteran decision to, instead of trying to force it in there, ran. And I think he got like a first down on that run. It was just
less on the quarterbacks, but more on the actual game though, Mike.
I know, that's what I was saying. But that leads to how much more, like surgical UCLA was. I mean, just, you know, the offensive line wasn't great, but to be able to just push back Stanford's front seven and get Carson Steele three touchdowns in the first half, just whatever game plan they had freaking worked, because, okay, you know, there you go, 42-7. And really quickly, the defense, you know, Stanford does not have a great offense, so they just feasted. And they got – they showed their mettle again.
I completely agree with you on that, Mike. Stanford does not have a very good offense. However, they were peaking. They were coming off the bright point of their season, literally on absolute fire versus the Colorado Buffs. The guy, Ayamayor or whatever, was coming off of 300 yards and a half.
Yeah.
Right? So they had been doing something that had worked, right? And UCLA, like, they ran completely into it. And they're in their homecoming game, right? And they ran completely into a brick wall when it came to the UCLA defense. Because Bill is absolutely right. They did shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly, but they didn't start shooting themselves in the foot really until they were down 14-0. And after UCLA missed that first field goal, which, don't get me started on special teams field goal kicking at this point, but that was already a quarter into the game pretty much. UCLA missed that field goal, and then Stanford kind of took that momentum and had a couple plays, and then they started, you know, like I said, kicking themselves in the balls. But UCLA seized that game right from the get-go, and there was really no doubt. Stanford was down big, and then they kind of got it together. And UCLA's defense deserves a hell of a lot of credit for that, as well as the offense just coming out and not doing anything negative. I mean, and by the way, we should be more complimentary. Garbers led them down the field twice in a row, and really three times in a row. They kind of stalled and missed the field goal, but they were not just avoiding mistakes. They were smooth as silk, and scoring points, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, and, you know, they gave up 268 passing yards, which, you know, whatever. UCLA still doesn't have the greatest pass defense, but when you balance that out with 24 rushing yards, because Stanford could not move the ball on the ground at all. Hell, let them throw all day if it's only going to limit them to 7 points.
Well, and that's true, but also I think we have to look at, this is one of those games where the full game stats aren't necessarily reflective of what was going on, right? So at the half, Stanford was 6 for 8, and they had 81 passing yards, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like, okay, that's pretty good, right? The defense did pretty darn good, you know. And then at the end, garbage time, they stacked up some more stats.
Yeah.
And obviously, once again, Bill made the excellent point of they kicked themselves right in the balls repeatedly in the game. And so that obviously took some stats off the board. All right. That's the game. Don't really have to say too much about that darn game.
No, but that wasn't the big part of the game. I mean, that's, just a quick little, like you said, four sentences.
The headline of the game is
the QB. The QB situation and the start of, or the restart of, Garbers, right?
Yeah.
Over Moore. Hit it!
Wait. Oh. Wrong one, probably. Apparently not right now.
Apparently not right now.
I still want more. not so much.
I want to also win.
There will be more in the future.
Good. Okay, yes. So let's talk about it, guys. You know, the big question is, What did you think about Garbers, and do you think he will remain the starting QB for the rest of the season? Because the talk behind the scenes is that he took his red shirt and put a lighter to it and burned it.
Yeah.
So
it kind of turns out, you know, that's what, like, when I was talking about it on the postgame, but, you know, Wayne kind of was steering me back towards that possibility when I was saying, well, look, Garbus doesn't seem to want to burn his red shirt. They got Justin Martin back there. They got Chase Griffin back there. And the Schleister's hurt. What do you think they're going to do, Wayne? He's like, well, you know, don't be too sure that, you know, that maybe Garbus will want to kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's probably not going to put up the numbers to get him to the he still has one more year of eligibility, but we'll see.
He's got 1 year of eligibility after this. Is that right, Mike?
Exactly, yes. Because if he didn't play on Saturday,
he would have two. Yeah.
Meaning that if he didn't play the rest of the season, he'd have two full seasons of eligibility. Now, since he's played in a fifth game, the inability to burn his red shirt. Since he played in his fifth game, he burns that red shirt for this year. So now he only has one full season after this. Either way, what's said behind the scenes, and that's the big thing. Like, is he going to be the starting quarterback? And if you're going to burn that red shirt, if you're going to, you know, eliminate an entire year,
you're going to do it for a reason.
Yes, exactly.
You're not doing it for. Hey, do you want to just play this one game?
You're
going back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
That makes no sense.
Which doesn't necessarily mean that, like, Chip won't bench him. It just means that he is now in the pole position. It's his position until he loses.
And you know what, right? I thought about, because we were talking about how,
just kind of with more,
especially after those first games, you talked about specifically how, is he going to be looking over his shoulder to see these, you know, other quarterbacks? At this point, I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he not only proved that he can take control of this offense, but just did it so well.
I want to hit this conversation in a few different ways. Number one, I want your guys' first reactions to just, you heard that Garbus is coming back to start, and what did you think about it before going into the game, and now after the game, where are you at with just the decision, Kelly? Because obviously, Kelly's getting... Some people are like, oh yeah, Kelly's doing what he has to do, yada. And some people are like, oh my gosh, why would you wait this long to do this? And Moore was going to win that game anyway. And you're kneecapping your future in order to save this year, and all these arguments, or whatever. So just the on the decision to put Garbus in there instead of Moore. What are your thoughts on that particular decision,
all right,
guys?
So Jake and I talked about this. Was it on your way back?
On my way back.
From Stanford.
Before the Live on the Five pod.
I said this. My
By the way, I might have to do every post game now Live on the Five, because I just like how that sounds. Anyways, I'm sorry.
That's good.
That was very nice.
No, so all you have to do is now drive down to like Disneyland on the Five.
That's right.
Just go back. So
from here, you'll be there in 4 hours.
It'll take you shorter to get to Stanford than the Disneyland. All right. So, Jake, I was saying it was the reason why I believe Chip Kelly chose to go with Garbus was the... It was the
Chip
volume.
Kelly.
It was the volume of interceptions. And more importantly, not just the volume, but think, I talked about this with you. It's the if you can think of interceptions or turnovers as weighted events, like your grade, a 4.0 or honors or AP 5.0, right? There's weights. There's different weights to it. And so if you look at like a regular, say, turnover, say a fumble, that's a certain weight. If you look at
fumble at the 50-yard line.
Fumble at the 50-yard line is a certain thing. If you raise the importance up, if you see it's an interception near your goal line, and even more, heavily weighted would be, of course, the most would be a
pick six or a scoop and score.
Scoop and score. So if you're looking at all that, you're seeing that that Dante Moore, even though he's a freshman, he's learning and he has a lot of talent. It was the volume of those heavily weighted mistakes.
Volume and severity.
The volume and severity that got to the point where I could see why he chose to go this way. I argued on the phone with you that if Moore would have gone from three interceptions against Utah, two against
Washington State and then Oregon State,
Washington, one against Oregon, I think he'd still be there. But it was just three, and pick six. And yep. I was like, dude.
I think if he doesn't have the pick six against Oregon State, right? Number one, I think they might have won that game, because it's a much different game. But you're right. It's just over and over and
it's
over.
It's the volume and the severity. Yeah. That's my argument.
Mike, what did you think of the decision?
I was fine with it because that's what I called for. It's like, sure.
Mike's like, F more.
No. that's the thing. Look.
Kelly,
no,
you dumbass.
Honestly, no. Like,
put
honestly,
the garbs in there.
No disrespect to like these players, because they're players. They're kids for the most part, in adult bodies. And I said like, but it's just not working right now. You tried it. It's not working. You got to make some sort of change. So this... I think this benefits everybody because, not only did Garbus show that he can lead the offense. But allowing who said this? I forgot who said this. But allowing Dante Moore to be on the sidelines and go, okay, that's what has to be done. Talking to people, saying, okay, this is
what
you got to
look for.
Well, Wayne
was saying something like that earlier. Yeah,
that's what it was. Okay, yeah, that's what it was. It makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, yes, we were hoping that this true freshman can come in and give us this fairy tale season.
Which, and for a minute, it looked like he was.
Yeah,
you know, he did for 3 games. It looked like he was.
And that just wasn't the case. So you have to, like Bill said, what is the end game here? A win. You have to get a win. Dante Moore really wasn't putting UCLA in that position, and Ethan Garbers did. He came out and just knocked it out of the park.
But don't you think Moore could have?
Yes, the answer.
What not could have? Would have won this game,
yes,
too?
Yes, yes.
Don't you think this could have been a valuable learning experience for him?
But it could have also still probably had an interception. He still could have. It could have been. What I think would have happened is probably could have been closer. It would have been a win, but closer. Does that make sense?
Right? It does.
Yeah. So that's what I think would have probably happened.
Or maybe it doesn't, because I mean, I don't think this defense was any better than San Diego State, which me and you, Bill, saw live, and they whooped up on San Diego State, right?
Which was a great game.
It was. Remember that fourth down?
That was a great.
The interception or whatever, the fumble on the goal line. That thing, that was awesome.
I lost my voice talking so much ish at that game.
It was a very similar environment at Stanford, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Nice. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, it was good. So good. I can see. Yeah, I can see the argument. Like, oh, you know, you gave Moore the three hardest games of the season.
Seriously.
You did. You gave him the three hardest games.
Like, without a doubt, right?
But it's like I said, if this would have been any kind of improvement, I think Chip would have stayed. And I just didn't see. And can you guys say, Mike or Jay, can you guys say there was real improvement in his performance? Or was it pretty much constant in terms of the mistakes he was making on three games in a row?
I would say it's not. I don't think it was constant from Utah to Washington State and Oregon State. But definitely he was struggling in all of them. He got better from Utah. I do think he did get better.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He was still making the mistakes that were so costly, even if he played a little bit better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And to the point of, and where I'm kind of looking at this from is, look, if you would ask me before the game, who do I want to start? I still would have wanted to start more just to kind of keep that progression going. That's my personal opinion. But I completely understand the inclination and the eventual decision to give it to Garbers if Garbers was willing to come in and burn his red shirt. And we'll talk about why in a minute. But with Moore, you know, it's, well, getting to Garbers. If you're contemplating making a quarterback change, right? And you're like, well, if Moore's going to continue to struggle, I am going to have to go to Garbers. Well, to me, this is the time you kind of have to do it, because I don't want Garbers' first start to be the circus that is this upcoming week with Colorado and that giant crowd. And I think that UCLA is going to mash up Colorado just like they mashed up Stanford, but it's still a much different environment, right? It's a much friendlier start to start at Stanford with, you know, basically nobody cheering against you. I know, it's an indictment of Stanford fans, but it is what it is, right? Or just another UCLA home game where there's not really anybody out there too. That would have been fine too. But this Colorado game is going to be something different. So I don't want Garbers to make his first start there. I don't want Garbers to make his first start on the road in Tucson. At that point, you're getting all the way to the Arizona State game at home. You know, like at that point, you're already eight, nine games in the season. Like, why are you going to change the quarterback at that point, right? And so this is, if you were going to give Garbers another chance to take the starting role for this team, this is the game you had to do it. And so I justify Chip's decision more from the being fair to Garbers than I do being unfair to Moore. And that's fine with me. I think that's fine where they left that.
Yeah.
Now, we're making all this talk, but if you go strictly by what, you know, Chip Kelly says, well, the only reason Moore didn't play was because he was injured. First of all, do you buy that at all?
He was dinged up, Jake.
I don't believe that, because you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't have someone burn the red shirt over a quick injury, like a dinged up injury. You could have just put Griffin. You could have put him in there.
Oh, and by the way, what the F? If he's dinged up, he still played.
He still played.
Don't give me that bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, here's the
classic
thing.
Hold on. Look. Classic case of Chip saying one thing and doing another, right?
I love Chip for some reason.
But I do too, but you know.
But we've seen this before, and what I mean that is,
like brothers,
is the fact that Chip Kelly, he wants to save face. He doesn't want to embarrass anybody. He doesn't want
He doesn't want to save his own face. He wants to save the face for his players.
There you go. Sorry. Yeah. He wants. how can I say? I guess he doesn't want a house of gossip. I guess, you know, he'll say it and you just have to deal with it. And obviously we see something different, but you know, for the most part, he's protecting his players. He's protecting his coaches and former coaches. Like, you know, he's never fired any coach on the UCLA staff since he's been here. They've just looked for other opportunities, yeah, or mutually parted ways, yeah, or moved into other roles.
You're talking about Azanero being moved out and upward. Yeah.
All different types, yeah, you know, Don Pelham kind of moving on, stuff, yeah, like that. Azanero moving on. Yeah. None of those guys were fired. They just kind of left the program.
And he's not going to announce. He's not going to tell us that Garbers is the starting quarterback going forward. He's not going to tell us who's going to start for the, like, even the broadcast didn't really know that Garbers was going to start. They were acting surprised when it started, even though it had leaked out that Garbers was going to start. I think Bro said that.
Hi, Bro.
But nobody knew, and we're not going to know like, as far as Colorado goes, do we even know who the starting quarterback is for that? No, even though we know it's going to be Garbers, we don't know it, right? I mean, I know it's kind of. But with that being said, I mean, what do you guys think of Chip pinning this on a dinged up or being injured more? And who is, like, it's Garbers. Garbers is the starting quarterback, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
And Garbers is the starting quarterback for the rest of the year, barring some unforeseen circumstance. Like, yeah, he really, really struggles or he is injured. Does, yes, that make sense?
Yeah. To me, I totally agree with that. And that's what I'm going with for the rest of the year.
What do you think of what I thought, you know, in the context of the game, too, in the fact that just like at the beginning of the year, right? Garbers comes out, plays that quarter and a half or whatever, throws the interception, looks rattled. Moore comes in and absolutely seizes the job by, you know, throwing much touchdown passes, going 5 for 6. The great start that he had, right? And then after that game, you know, Garbers, unlike the USC football team, actually faces the media, and I felt so bad for him.
He
in
went
that,
there.
I felt true. So bad truth. For Garbers after the Coastal game, because you knew he lost the job, but he still was the first guy that went up and answered questions.
Yeah.
And then they went to Moore afterwards, and Moore sitting there very relaxed and cool and chill and enjoying the moment. But Garbers had to talk to the media after that.
Yeah.
And then coming out the next game, Chip was like, oh, yeah, we're going to play everybody. And once again, you know, Chip says one thing and does another. And Bill, did we see Ethan Garbers in San Diego?
I did not see. Well, yeah, we saw him.
We saw him on the sideline.
On the sideline.
But he did not play, right?
Yeah.
And so that, to me, was Chip's way of signaling to us that Moore had won the job, and it was his job to lose, and it was his job until he did lose it, right?
Yeah.
But now I saw a similar signal in the Stanford game in that once we had mop-up duty.
You were seeing signals?
There were, yeah.
Were you selling them?
No.
Black market?
Were you doing a Michigan and
Michigan
stealing them?
Kind of.
I was not.
Sending him to a Michigan.
Nothing like that. But I thought it was telling to me that Garbers plays all the minutes that mattered, and then when they pull him and put Moore in for his series, they didn't let Moore finish the game. They put Moore and Chase Griffin in.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them played, and to me that was a kind of a signal of, okay, you guys are the backups, this guy's the starter, and that's what it will be until there's some other reason to shake it up. I think it might have been something different if Moore would have played the entire back half of the game and maybe had,
yeah,
the opportunity to get something cooking.
Yeah,
but he didn't, you know, and so to me that's telling. I don't. I might be reading too much into it, but to me that meant something to me.
But as a quarterback, I would see, like, God, you know what? It's may the best man win, and Chip is fair about it. Like, to me, he's like,
I think that too.
That's fair. Like,
yeah,
he's fair.
No,
he really is.
That.
It's like, okay, right now I'm not playing the best. Therefore, the other guy's playing. I mean, it's so cool to see it within one season. Like, it went from Garbers to Moore, now back to Garbers, you know, and who knows what's going to happen in the next few games. But it is like, hey, it's how you perform, man. If you're performing well, you're going to stay.
But it's also not fickle. That's
no,
what I
not.
Appreciate about
and
it.
And it's great.
That's what I appreciate about
and
it.
And Lord knows you and I are going to have some conversations later, Jake, about youth sports. But it's not like one mistake and you're pulled. It is just, you know, he gives you a chance. That's a great thing about Chip. Maybe much to our chagrin sometimes, but he gives his players a chance to sort of develop.
And once he makes a decision, he's loyal to that decision until he needs to go back on it.
Yeah.
Some people might say he takes too long to pull trigger, but I'd rather him err on this side than the other side.
Yeah.
Honestly, me.
And then you get like a lot of people who, you know, we try to be even balanced and, you know. Give ourselves, you know, 24,
fair and balance,
24 hours.
Mike. That's what we do here. Fair and balance.
We try to look at it from, you know, different angles, like we're doing now, like, you know, analyzing all different perspectives. And, you know, it's just weird to see how It's actually not weird because we've been in it with 5 years. But some fans just going, why did he wait so long? See, another dumb decision by Chip Kelly. And it's like, look, he's not stupid. Every time something like this comes up, I always remember a radio interview Nick Eliotti did with, Petros and Money, where, you know, people were like, I think they asked him, you know, what's going on with Chip Kelly? Why aren't his teams, and I think this was like in year two or three, why aren't his teams doing better? And he goes, look, Chip Kelly didn't get stupid overnight. He knows what he's doing. And it may not pay dividends immediately, but he's eventually getting somewhere. And like you guys were just saying, like right now, he's not fickle. He's loyal to his decisions. He's trying to see what is best. And obviously he's seeing a lot more than we are, the media and the fans from practice. So there's definitely a lot behind the scenes that we have no idea what's going on. Whether he says one thing or another, he already knows what he wants to do and he's going to do it. And has it worked every single time? No, it hasn't. But they're winning. The last two seasons, they're winning. They have a 4-2 record right now. They blew out Stanford, a crappy team. 5-2. They blew out Stanford, a crappy team, but, you know, they should have. If this was like 4 years ago, I could see UCLA barely winning, like 21-20 or something like that. But no, they blew them out as they should have.
But let's not get it twisted either, right? Like, I appreciate this process for this quarterback situation right now, because I think going into the season, it was a tough situation because you had a lot of worthy candidates and a lot of different narratives that could have played out. And I think that given the circumstances and the way it's played out, I really do believe that Kelly has managed this as well as he could. He made a decision, he stuck with it, and then when it looked like he needed to revisit the decision, he did, and that's how we end up with garbage right now, right? And that's where we're at right now. And I think he's managed it as well as he could. I really do. But let's keep in mind still, though, that there are plenty of people that have plenty of reasons to indict this era as a whole. And part of that is that, yeah, Mike, they've had two winning seasons so far in the last two seasons, but he's still 500 since he hit 500, yeah, right? He's still one game over 500 in his career at UCLA. There's a lot of reasons to be upset with how Chip Kelly is running this program, even if the three of us are kind of more on the side of we like the positives that he brings, mm-hmm, and the people that are on the negative train often don't acknowledge any of that, and that's where they're unreasonable. But if you still think that this program isn't where it needs to be, there are a lot of reasons to point to that as well.
Yeah.
But we're, I think, just maintaining here on this particular part of this season and this aspect of it, this quarterback situation, I don't think he could have – I mean, I'm just being honest with you, my opinion. I don't think he could have handled this situation any better, right? Considering the egos involved, the positions involved, the loyalty that you owe to your players involved, and the fact you've brought in the second – highest rated player in the history of your program and how you manage that. And getting back to, like, what do you think about what I said? We'll get off the quarterback situation in a minute here. But I also thought that, you know, getting back to Garber's having to face the media after he's lost the job, and obviously the pressure of Moore right behind him affected him in that first game. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, right?
It's a fair assessment.
Well, I felt horrible for him, because I realized that, right? He's got all this pressure. I talked about it before the season started. He has all this pressure, and will he be? He pretty much had to be perfect to win the job, to keep the job after winning it, you know, with Moore on his heels. But now, with Moore, look, I want Moore to succeed as much as anybody, but I don't feel nearly as bad for Moore right now in this moment as I did for Garbers after game one, because Moore actually got his shot for this year to try to, you know, make it work, and he started out real well, and then he tapered off, and now we're making a change. But he had his opportunity, so there's only so bad he can really feel, too, right? Like, he had his opportunity, and it hasn't worked out yet, but maybe it'll work out down the line.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you guys?
See, but I just don't know how much that – you're looking from a 47-year-old.
No, but that's not in our control. Like, if he transfers, he transfers. But I'm saying that how I feel about his situation.
Yeah.
I think that it's much easier to look at this and say Moore's arrived where he's at right now with the program in a fair manner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As was Ethan, it's like circumstance screwed him. The fate screwed him.
You know what I wanted to say too? It also seemed like he was a little bit more comfortable in this game. And I think the stats show that. I mean, the eyeball tests show that. He just
looked. You're talking about Garbers?
Garbers, in his performance against Coastal Carolina as opposed to at Stanford?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah,
and like just, you know, in that first game, 58.8% pass completion, 71.4 against Stanford. In that first game, he had 121 yards. In this one, he had 240. And those were passing yards. Rushing yards, he had 9 in that first game and 51. He looked...
And just very timely.
He looked... Like
he was comfortable.
He looked like DTR, you know, diet DTR in this. Like just the fact that he was able to move around with his feet when things broke down, and his accuracy. I mean, I think he had a better accuracy than DTR did all last season. But I mean, it's one game. You can't really compare that. But I'm just saying, the comfort level looked obvious.
And in those first few drives that he led them to 21 to nothing lead, basically, there were times when he did get pressure, but for the most part, he wasn't getting pressure. And the offensive line was blocking for him pretty well. All those sacks and things, like there was one sack, I think, in the first half. And then the other three sacks were in the second half when it's kind of breaking down. But the offensive line blocked for him, and he had the vision to take the opportunities. He basically just took what was coming to him, right? Yeah. Now, with Garbers there instead of Moore, do you think this, like, the way I'm looking at this is you are trading a, you're gaining a higher floor for this offense, but what you're giving up is probably a higher ceiling if Moore is fully operational, playing at his peak. I think you're putting a cap on how explosive this offense can be. If you look at the Stanford game, Garbers had almost nothing down the field. He threw two passes
over
more than
yards.
20 yards, basically, is by my eyeballs. I think that's a part of this offense that you're giving up for now. But at the same time, I think it's well worth it to do that when it's complementing what your defense is doing and not putting your defense in a hole. But do you think that's fair to say that they're raising the floor but maybe lowering the ceiling on the offense right now?
Sure. But I mean, you that statement assumes, and at least eyeball tests, Moore has a good deep ball. He's accurate long, you know?
And he's always looking to take it.
However, you know, that's his strong point. However, you know, Garbers is a little bit more well-rounded. He is not DTR. I'm not saying that. But he can scramble better than Moore. He's not some insane athlete. And I don't know if Moore could maybe grow into more scrambles.
I think he absolutely will.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you, but I still think there's a little bit of difference between the two.
I'm just saying, like, I think you're trading smooth operational offense that maybe not doesn't have the ability to explode for, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 play drives.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, it's not going to throw a bunch of pick sixes is what we're hoping. That's what we're gaining. Now, I do wonder, you know, let's say your defense isn't playing as well as it has been playing, right? Or you get into a game where you're kind of in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they are very susceptible to not being able to keep up in a shootout with the current, you know, with Garbers in there. But, you know, I guess, but I still think it's a good trade.
Part of the reason why, I would say one, not the only, part of the reason why Dante Moore had a lot of sacks, not just because he didn't really scramble as much, is because he fell in love with the deep. He's looking for the home run.
I think that's very true.
He was looking for the home run. I mean, Mike, you agree? He looked for the home run.
Yeah,
and sometimes it would pay off. It would pay off. I'm not saying it wouldn't always, but sometimes it would. And
but you got to pick your battles.
You got to pick your battles with that. So
you got to be really disciplined. You got in how you study the opponent's defense. You know what corner safeties are going up against your top receivers. Who's going to be able to break away from those guys?
Yeah.
And this is a very complicated offense, as a lot of UCLA players, especially the newcomers, have said that. Like in fall camp, we asked so many players and they're like, yeah, there's a lot to go into this. So can you imagine trying to be the quarterback?
Yeah.
Trying to dissect this and trying to figure out and trying to get your guys open or all this. But yeah, no, it does look like he's trying to, you know, go for the, you know, the highlights and all that. And that doesn't always work.
No. And I say that though, Mike, because.
No, you're right though.
Yeah. I say that because, you know, Jake's like, oh, it could be a shootout. Yeah, but, you know, right now he's trying to look for the explosive plays. He is trying to get those. But there is a downside to looking for the explosive plays.
Yeah.
There is the fact that if you wait too long for that thing to develop or you're just not, you know, just not all there yet, you have the chance to either lose the ball, get sacked. You get what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
But then oppositely, like we were saying, like Garbers didn't have any explosive plays, but look what he did. You know, dink and dunk here.
All
you know,
the way
he
down.
Still got like two what was it, 200 and
well, they definitely called
something
a different
yards. And oh, they definitely did. They definitely did. But look what happened. You protect the ball. You control it. You emphasize a lot more of the running game early, and there you go, 45-7.
Yeah, but at the same time, you probably don't want to count on being, 8-for-12 on third down. You know, that's probably not going to happen every time.
Yeah.
But you could count on being, 6-for-12, and that's still probably a pretty efficient offense.
50%.
That's pretty darn good, right? So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay, let's get to the symposium, and then after that, we'll come back and do some listener calls, and then we're going to break, and then we'll come back with a show on with all the Colorado nonsense and the circus that is coming to town here at the Rose Bowl this Saturday. So, on with the symposium.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality, women don't. That's why men need to drink.
I hate it when podcasters talk about what they're drinking.
What else am I going to drink, Bob? A fucking Fresca?
And thank you very much for joining the What's Brewing Symposium. Symposium is a conversation over drinks, and that's what we're doing right now. It's the What's Brewing Show, and thank you for your support. You can support us on Patreon for just how much, Mike?
$2!
$2 a month. Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or It'sBrewingShow.com. Either one works. Also, on the old Substack, What'sBrewing.substack.com. You can support us there, too. Subscribe on either. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe everywhere. Please, help us out, right? Help us show us your support by subscribing, and we appreciate you. Now, symposium is a conversation over drinks, as I said, and tonight I am having a whiskey that I haven't had in a little while. It is none other than Pinhook, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This the bottle's really nice. It's a nice purpley bottle, and this is purple or lavender, guys. What do you think?
It's got lavender.
I think so, lavender, yeah. It's high proof, and when I say high proof, it's 117.6. I didn't realize it was that much when I poured two servings of it. Wow, Bill.
Well, you're not drinking. Or you're not driving, as I say.
This could get rough. Let's get through this show quick.
Or awesome.
It's also named after a horse. Bourbon Reserve is the name of a horse, and that horse stands 16.2 hands, and it's a bay colt. So, really nice bottle, and it's a really nice bourbon. And apparently really strong bourbon, too. Billy Boy, you opened a bottle. I think it's the bottle that Mike got me for my birthday. So,
oh, very
what
good.
Is it?
It's West Cork. It's an Irish blended whiskey. And anything with Irish in it, I sort of gravitate towards. So I tried it. I opened it. Mike, good pick.
And they soak it in bourbon casks.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. So I was enjoying it. And it's nice.
Where does Happy Bill's having a drink with us again? Gee whiz.
Cheers, mate.
Once in a while.
You're so stuck up before.
I know.
Well, I know. Now we're like 2 for 2. Like 2 out of 2 weeks.
Seriously?
Yeah, you're on a streak.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, nice. You've only shown up for 1 out of 6 shows.
Very good.
But both of those shows... No, I'm sorry. 2 out of 6 shows. I want to take away your credit. But those two shows, you had a drink with us.
That's right.
Thank you. Mikey, you got a sweet, awesome new can today.
Yeah,
nice can,
this,
Mike.
It's pretty fantastic. From Paperback Brewing out in Glendale. I was actually there yesterday working on an article. I wanted to see some football.
Article
wanted,
for what?
Bro. And so I remember this place, and I wanted to go get a drink before I had to go to the do my usual Monday night shopping at the Trader Joe's.
Nice.
And today I was like, you know what? I want to get some more paperback. So I tried to find one that kind of fits with the theme of Colorado Week. So I got Cold War Karen. You know, those crazy communists out there in Boulder, Colorado.
I like
being
it.
All a hippie and love.
A little crunchy.
And yeah, probably. But this one is called Cold War Karen. It's a West Coast IPA, and it's hilarious. I mean, it looks like a Lady Jane type of figure on the front with a rocket launcher, and it says, the tagline is, she wants to speak to your general. But it's very good. It's a very good beer. I love them because they're all tall boys.
Like, nice cans, Mike.
It's freaking fantastic. Hey, now.
Very good.
And it's all right. I haven't tried this one yet, but I'm going to go back and try it some more.
All right. Well, once again, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys supporting our little pirate ship out here in the waters of Bruin Sports Talk. And you can show that support by just subscribing, liking on YouTube or on iTunes or whatever app you're listening to this on, number one. And if you want to show us a little extra love, subscribe on the Patreon or on the Substack for how much, Mike? As little as
$2
a month. Thank you. Yeah. That's What's Bruin Show. .com or patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow or Substack, whatsbrewing.substack.com. Okay, so after my postgame live on the 5, we were not able to get to any calls because you guys hadn't called yet, but now you have. So let's get to the phone calls. Who's up first? Coming off the Bruins victory on the farm against Stanford, 42-7.
Hey guys, on the Stanford game, pretty much a checkbox kind of game. Bruins looked like you would have expected them to look. glad to see Garver's taken over. I feel good for him personally, but I know that's not part of the equation. But he handled the offense. The offense, when he's in there, it looks like it's leaning forward. With Dante in there, the offense looks like it's leaning backwards. And that's a big difference. Now, that's just a made-up thing I came up with, but it just kind of feels that way with Garver's under center. So I'd be surprised if we see Dante starting unless we get a big reversal in Garver's. But I think Garver's is experienced enough to know where the mistakes are or where most of the mistakes are. And he was willing to tuck and run. So I just think he gives us an offense that won't play us out of games. So we'll end up winning a lot more games with our defense. That's the way we're going to be this year. I think that's the personality we're going to have to live with. It's not going to be the blur. It's going to be kind of the bang around offense and the powder blue curtain on defense. So going forward, we're sort of in the belly of our schedule. Another checkbox game coming up. And I don't want to overlook any opponent, but these are games that you surely should be winning, and we'll see what happens. But the next big test is going to be, obviously, Arizona. I think that's a sleeper game we better be up for. So game ball to Garber's. Pat on the back for his persistence, maturity, and hanging in there. And he's a model for all of us to look at and admire. Okay, that's it. No 4 minutes this time. Go Bruins. Oh, to Diego.
Yeah, thanks, Diego. I appreciate that call, and I think I'm right there with you. We are pretty simpatico on what our take is at this point. I am still, you know, we talked about earlier on the show, I'm wondering what they're giving up as far as the ceiling for the offense, but this certainly, you know, smooth as silk is how I described it before, and I think that's pretty much where Garber's has them. And I think we all agree, you know, this is what they need for this iteration of this Bruins team. And I also agree with you that these are the games that they need to and have to win. Arizona isn't a sleeper game anymore, you know, because they've been playing too good. And I'm going to that game, so let's hope they have a nice big effort there. But, yeah, they need to win this game against Colorado. They should win this game against Colorado, and we'll talk about that on the next show. So who's next?
One down, seven to go. The boy, Ethan, is in charge. I really don't see Dante getting the job back. But, ooh, Rams missing field goal. But, great win. Hopefully you can keep the momentum going, keep teams from not scoring, and it'll be a beautiful thing. We're on our way to 12-2. Go Bruins.
Thanks, Ez. No, I know you're really on board with the 11-1 this year, and I'm sorry they couldn't do that for you. But you're going for 12-2? I think that would have to include, what, a berth in the Pac-12 title game? Right. I don't know if that's in the cards for them. That might be a little bit out of their control, but I mean, you know, they could luck into it. But at the very least, we should be shooting for 10-2 in the regular season. And then after that, whatever is, right? Whatever shall be. All right. Who's next?
Hi, What's Bruin Show. This is Carrie, Carrie Bruin. And I really enjoyed Jake's insightful recap of the game and his thoughts. And sounds like Jake had a great family road trip up north to the farm. I think my first thoughts are about Dante and Jake's thoughts on that. I definitely agree, like, Monday morning quarterbacking doesn't do Chip Kelly's, you know, process any justice. There's a lot of things you just can't foresee. But one thing that I think the stats bear out, my question is, did he really do better in the Wazoo game as opposed to his start in the Utah game? Because when I looked at the stats, I mean, he had maybe 50, 60 more yards. But, you know, if you're comparing defenses between Utah and Wazoo, I think just that alone, like the Wazoo, more, you know, their defense is, you know, more in the middle. Utah's defense is more elite. And I think just that change in defense would account for that increased passing. So I personally don't think he did any better at Wazoo. It was more that the win may have masked that. And then, you know, moving to the Oregon State game, I think what might have been happening is that Dante was doing a little bit worse each game. And that may be due to the difficult system he has to learn, you know, Chip Kelly's system, which definitely favors veterans. And, you know, Dante being a freshman, it's a tall order. I was kind of curious why, you know, Chip started out, as Chase mentioned, with this plan to use all three quarterbacks, definitely in the non-con play. He didn't veer from that, though, when we started conference play, but it just became assumed that Dante was the starter. But I agree with Chip's first, I would say his first plan, which was to continue to move these quarterbacks in and out until something fits.
Carrie kind of cut out there, but then she came back with another call right after that.
Hi, this is Carrie again. One last thing. I like how you used the horns for Harden, you know, from the Harden My Heart song and the Superman theme for Carson. I wanted to mention that last week, but I forgot. But good job. Take care.
Yeah, I can't get enough of my own sound drops, so I appreciate your support with that, Carrie. She called back again with another call, so let's hear that.
Hey, this is Carrie again. I guess I'm talking too much, but I was surprised that Chip didn't try another quarterback, even if just for one possession. But I didn't, you know, he knows more than I do. And then after the Wazoo game, though, I was really hoping that there would be some special plays for at least Colin Schley, if not Ethan Garbers. If you just look at the stat line on its own. So I think Chip gave up on this, we're going to try all quarterbacks thing, but I think that might have worked out a little better here. But everyone wanted Dante. So, you know, can you blame him? But I thought Ethan Garbers did great. I think he reset his team. You know, let's just do over here. Get back to just these basic plays. You know, it may not have explosiveness, but it gets the job done. It's maybe simpler. Who knows? But I like Jake's comment about, you know, we may miss that explosiveness that Dante brings. But I'm still hoping that Chip gets all three quarterbacks involved if Colin is healthy. I think that if you give Dante a few set plays, and he knows what to expect on those plays, and he knows where he's going even before he enters the game, I think he could add a lot and get some experience under his belt and get him prepared for the next year. And I think it would help the whole team. And I just hope that Schley gets better, or maybe there's someone else who can run. Maybe, I don't know, Chase. I don't know that much about Chase's abilities to run like Schley could, but I know he can run an offense that's, you know, high octane running. So yeah, those are just my thoughts. I really enjoyed the program again. I am concerned, like Jake mentioned, about the special teams. But I am worried, actually a little bit more worried than others, about the Colorado game just because of the hype. I hope that UCLA will go into that game grounded and just focused on the game plan and implementing it. All right. Once again, thanks again for your podcast. And love these players. And go Bruins. Take care.
You know, it's great to have contributors like Carrie and Diego. And, by the way, Nancy, you haven't called in a couple weeks. And Dez. And everybody else that's called over the last, you know, couple years of the What's Bruin Show since we really started pushing the hotline, 805-399-4WBS, Second Rand of Troy. I really appreciate it. And look, you guys all don't agree with each other, right? Carrie is a long ways away from where Diego is on what they are thinking about the program. And they're looking at different aspects of the program and really concentrating on, you know, different things kind of bug them and different things give them encouragement. And I love that. It's great to hear the different perspectives. So thank you very much for calling, and please keep calling.
to be perfectly honest with you, as far as like the where the show stands, right? I think the Bruin fan base, because of the way the Chip Kelly era has gone and played out, certainly it's doing better now than it did at the beginning. But it's a very polarized fan base, but I don't think all of that fan base is vocal. I think that there's 10% that's really, really negative, and no matter what Chip Kelly does, it's the wrong thing, the wrong decision, and you're gonna see it on Twitter or whatever. But I think there's a lot of the fan base that is, you know, if they're still paying attention to what the Bruins are doing, they're just kind of like a little shell-shocked over how the era has gone. And every time we get excited, we kind of get slapped down with an Arizona loss or a Pitt loss. Or even this year, the losses to ranked Utah and Oregon State, they just kind of set us back a little bit. And so it's hard for us to be super vocal about, you know, how we feel about the Bruins. But I think a lot of the fan base is kind of apathetic as to what they've seen, you know, from the Chip Kelly era so far. And I really appreciate you guys calling the show and giving me your different perspectives, whether it's Diego, whether it's Carrie, whether it's Nancy or Dez, or old Mike Crawford's out there too. And there's plenty of other guys people that have called the show. And that's what's really keeping us going, because quite frankly, like I look at the numbers of, you know, who is kind of interacting with the, you know, our podcast and other podcasts, and when I talk to the other guys doing UCLA podcasts, and there is just still, it's set in a little bit of Bruin apathy over what the program is. And I really think that has to do with how Kelly has just failed to separate himself from that 500 record, right? He got back to 500, and the last year he's been 500 again. And, you know, right now he sits one game over there, and the rest of the season is an opportunity for him to kind of really build up some goodwill with the fan base. And I'm waiting for that to happen. I know you guys are waiting for that to happen too. But anyways, I really appreciate the call, Carrie and Diego and Dez and everybody else. Carrie, specifically with you, it was a great road trip. We had a lot of fun. And Malcolm was hesitant about driving in the car for 5 hours up and 5 hours down, but he ended up having a good time despite himself. And it really is something. Obviously, I always want to go up and see my daughter up there at Berkeley. But as far as your take on the quarterback competition, I think you're right. And actually, you made me think of something new that I hadn't really considered, because I really put a lot of thought into thinking that, you know, thinking about how Chip Kelly put the job into Moore's hands early and the signals he sent that said that it was Moore's job to lose. You know, right? And then now that we've gone these six games, and then he decides to bench Moore and put in Garbers, and now looking for signals that say that this is Garber's job to lose, at least for this season. But what I really didn't consider is, you know, we threw, Kelly threw Schley out there in a sort of package to try to change the pace or whatever. And that's because he brought something that was entirely different from what Dante Moore had out there. But to be perfectly honest with you, Dante Moore kind of adds something a little different from what Garber's has. And you're right, to keep more engaged in the season, there really isn't any reason not to maybe throw him out there a little bit to kind of see what he can do situationally. And maybe he can, you know, it's not the same as Schley, who's getting out there to really just run the ball, run like an option style offense and change the pace from what the normal Bruin offense is. It's a little different from that, but I don't know. Maybe you do find a way to get a few more looks just to see what he can do. But you'd have to do that while balancing the idea that you don't want to get into Garber's head about it, right? And so that is the real major problem with that idea, is that Garber's and Moore are similar enough in how they are running the Bruin offense. They're not. It's not like a fastball versus a changeup, which is what Schley was to the other Bruin quarterbacks. That would be the thing to negotiate there. But I'm not opposed to it. You know, keep them all engaged. You know, keep more engaged in this offense, and then we'll see where it is after we end the season. But the important thing is get as many wins out of the season as you can, and I don't see why they can't get to 10 wins with the regular season and then see what happens in the postseason. You know, that's where I'm at. I do need a Garbers drop, though. So if anybody has any ideas about a drop for Ethan Garbers, because I have the Moore drop, I have the Man of Steel drop, I have the, you know, I have Mr. Jones, right? But at this point, I got nothing for Garbers. So help me out, people.
But anywho, thank you for calling the What's Brewing Hotline. And let's close this show out and get to the game against the Buffs. All right, well, that's it for this first half of the show. And we'll come back with the game that will be against Colorado up at the Rose Bowl this Saturday, 4:30 p.m. on ABC, I want to say. But, Bill, you're still going to hang around for the second part of the show, right? You want to talk about the Colorado Buffs? You're actually going to that game.
I am.
That's, breaking news, right?
That
Bill's
is huge.
Going to a game. That is huge.
That is huge. People are like, are you actually going? I'm like, yeah I'm actually
It's going. Unbelievable. So, yeah. So, hang on. Look right after this in your feed. There will be another show, and it will be part B of the What's Brewing show this week. Until then, Bill, what do we say?
Go Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
That was the What's Brewing show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.